God made me to have children, so what man has the right to change me?
Roanoke Times reporter Mary Bishop reads from a letter written by a woman named Louise, who was sent to the Lynchburg colony for the epileptic and the feeble-minded in the 1940s. The woman was sterilized at the age of 12.
I look around the world and see on TV some people have babies and not be married. Some kill them before they're born. I just don't see what right they had to do it. A lawyer once told me that was a price I had to pay because I was poor.
Eugenics was a worldwide movement with its theoretical origins in Britain and its first practical applications in the United States. Many other countries in the world followed America's lead in writing eugenical laws in an attempt to better society. The most extreme case occurred in Nazi Germany. When Adolf Hitler took power in 1933, he copied the same model sterilization law that was used in Virginia. University of Virginia law professor Paul Lombardo says that unlike other countries, the United States has not seriously addressed its eugenics past.
Germany paid reparations to people who could prove that they were sterilized. Sweden, I believe, paid reparations. Switzerland is considering it. It's being looked at also in Japan. In Canada, there were a series of lawsuits. One of the provinces which had a sterilization law, which was actually, again, modeled on the American laws. And Alberta survivors were paid over $140 million Canadian dollars. Nowhere in America has a nickel ever been paid to a survivor of the eugenics movement.
Lombardo says that the United States has also ignored the moral lesson of eugenics because Oliver Wendell Holmes' ruling in the Kerry Buck Supreme Court case still stands. Three imbeciles are enough still remains as the last legal word on the issue of eugenics in the United States. In 1979, the American Civil Liberties Union attempted to sue for damages on behalf of Virginia sterilization victims. The state settled out of court and offered counseling to those who could prove they were sterilized. But the offer wasn't well publicized, and the state made no effort to track down some of the approximately 8,000 Virginians who were prevented from having children.
Lots more people than that were sterilized. Many people were sterilized in private hospitals and private institutions. Many people were coercively sterilized in the 60s and the 70s as a condition of receiving welfare benefits.
More than 20,000 people were sterilized in California. In all, 30 states had sterilization laws on the books. In the 2001 session of the Virginia General Assembly, a resolution was passed to express profound regret of the eugenics movement in Virginia. This marks the first time that any legislature in the nation has acknowledged the government's role in the eugenics movement. Phil Thyssen is president of the Lynchburg Depressive Disorders Association, a support group that meets to discuss concerns involving mental health.
We've brought this whole issue of the sexual sterilization up in various conversations with a number of state officials over the years. It was kind of always a bit of a taboo subject that you don't go there, we don't talk about this. The state really didn't want to address the issue.
Thyssen's group spent much of 2000 looking for a patron to sponsor a resolution asking for an apology on behalf of eugenics victims. Letters were sent out to all 140 state legislators. Delegate Mitch Van Yeres of Charlottesville became interested in eugenics in the spring of 2000.
Delegate Van Yeres stepped forward right at the very end before the General Assembly started and agreed to be the sponsor. There appeared to be widespread support, but no one actually wanted to be the patron.
In order for the resolution to pass, the language was changed to express profound regret rather than an apology. Van Yeres says there is still work to be done in order for Virginia to atone for its history. Virginians must know this history, he says, especially at this point in humanity's technological evolution.
We're now tampering with genetics, gene splicing, and I want to make sure that we know our lessons of history well before we get too far advanced into playing and tampering with the human genetics again.
Van Yeres suggests we may be traveling on familiar roads, and we could use the maps that history can provide.
The whole question of cloning, the whole question of gene manipulation, DNA privacy, all of these things are coming up now as serious questions for the future, and I think we have to deal with them on this level and understand what we have done in the past in order to deal with this in the future.
Phil Thyssen expects more states will follow Virginia's lead and pass similar resolutions in the near future, but the federal government needs to remember its role as well.
I think the United States government needs to step back and look at the issue nationwide and memorialize the eugenics victims. I don't believe personally that compensation is appropriate.
Thyssen insists that Virginia law would stop any new move for compensation dead in its tracks. That's because the state has sovereign immunity. Instead, Thyssen says, the state should concentrate on collecting the stories of victims.
There needs to be documentation. In terms of the impact on the lives of those persons affected directly that were sterilized in the eugenics movement, and what we would like to see is their life stories permanently documented.
J. David Smith is Dean of Education and Human Services at Longwood College in Farmville. He's written several academic texts on the eugenics movement, but says many students know nothing about the subject.
I am amazed at the number of college students today who are shocked. They had never been made aware of the eugenics movement as part of their social studies curriculum.
The Roanoke Times' Mary Bishop is currently on leave in order to do research into the life stories of eugenics victims. In 1985, she met a Rockbridge County woman who had been sterilized.
And once I got to know her and wrote about her, I realized that there were lots of other people, probably thousands, who had been through the same thing and who needed to be interviewed before too long because they were all getting old.
Since then, Bishop has been tracking down victims in order to collect their stories for publication. So far, Bishop has discovered and interviewed 26 of the survivors. She hopes to also broaden her search to find some of the 1,100 African Americans who were sterilized at a colony in Petersburg.
A lot has been written about the political history, the legislative history, even the scientific history of this movement, but very little has been written about the people who had this done to them.
No master lists were ever kept of who was sterilized, and so she and other reporters have been digging through courthouse records to discover who went through the procedure.
They were essentially told, "You and your kind are not wanted in the human race. We will not kill you. We will let you subsist, but we don't want any more like you on the face of the earth."
Bishop says the expression of profound regret has been a good first step, but she believes patients who were sterilized in state institutions deserve financial compensation.
People were not just sterilized. They were often put into an institution as a child and taken out of school. They were deprived of a normal education. They were deprived of the chance to do work and find a trade early on. Many of them were kept in the hospitals for years and years, and were so wounded by this that they never really recovered.
And if that's not likely, she says, a more heartfelt apology is required.
So that they feel that they have at least gotten some satisfaction in knowing that this state recognizes what it did to them. So they can go on and end their lives with a little bit more dignity than they've been afforded to date.
Sean Tubbs, WVTF News.